You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast, brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Sunday's edition of the podcast, where we're taking a look ahead to the racing at Chester and Chepstow. We've also got Market Racing and the final day of the Galway Festival on the agenda on Sunday. You'll hear every race live from 1:40 p.m. on Racing Radio in the company of Gareth Topham, Paddy Aspel and Alistair Whitehouse-Jones. It's a pretty good looking Sunday. It's been a very good week at Glorious Goodwood and we'll be reflecting on that in just a second as well. Sam Norris here, and joining me to do the reflecting is Andrew Mount.
Hello, Sam.
How are you today?
Yeah, looking forward to my reflecting session with you.
Indeed. It's been a superb, glorious meeting. Of course, at time recording, we've still got a little bit of it left. We've still got Saturday's action, but we'll start the reflection section of the podcast with the action on Friday. It was another superb day of racing. We'll start with the big race of the day, the King George off at 3:45, won by Take Cover, who has won the race before, has been second in it as well last year, came back at the grand old age of 9 to land another Group 2. And this was no poor Group 2 either. It attracted a really, really good field, the Qatar King George this year.
No, that's right. A very strong field, 17 runners, and I'm so annoyed with myself for deserting Take Cover, having bet him for the last 2 years, and I put him up as a strong bet when he won at Haydock on the 20th of May. Didn't like the soft ground at Ascot next time, and that track's not ideal either. I just thought from stall 11 might be a bit tricky because the best ground was on the far side on Friday. And I thought he might get taken on for the lead, but he's pinged the lids and got over to the far side, to the fastest strip of ground, and held on from Washington DC, who was giving the form of the July Cup a boost, fifth in that race, and having his first run over the minimum trip since winning the Windsor Castle Stakes, I think, last season.
Yeah, indeed. Good to see Goldream back to something like his best form. Obviously, a dual Group 1 winner, hasn't had his conditions for a long time, got them on Friday, and a pleasing run from Robert Calcharge, who, as we all know, does incredibly well with these sprinters.
That's right, and he wasn't best drawn either, Goldream. He was in stall 13, he was only beaten ahead for second. But they were all in the heap, the first five. Eastern Angel and Marsha are worth a mention as well, yeah. The pair that finished fourth and fifth. They ran in the same race at Haydock in a fast time the time before. And you could argue that Eastern Angel was a little bit unlucky, denied a clear run at a crucial stage. But yeah, it was a fantastic race, and the form should work out.
Yeah, first six in the betting, with the first six home as well for the King George Stakes. Just half an hour before that, we saw one of the biggest gambles of the week landed in the shape of Franklin D for Michael Bell and Ryan Moore, that ended up going off 7-4 favourites for the Golden Mile, an eye-wateringly short price, and two winners in 2 days for Connection as well, who of course had a big orange the day before over the 2 mile trip. But a huge gamble landed there. Were you on?
That's right. I tipped this up in my track bias diary column on gg.co.uk. And I started looking at the race thinking 3-1 in a race of, the field of this size and such a competitive race, that can't be right. And the more you looked at it, the more you thought, well, and there's not much pace in the race, and he tends to race prominently. He's drawn in stall one, which is perfect.
Yep.
He earned a massive speed figure when winning at Newmarket the time before. I came to the conclusion that 3-1 was actually
a
good price. And I did say to an on-course bookmaker friend of mine that this one's going to start 2-1 or 7-4. So, you know, have as much as you can on the morning at 3-1, because you'll be able to lay shorter at the track. Only just won from Master of the World, who was short-headed in the Cambridgeshire last year and was returning to form. That was well drawn as well in stall 5. And looking at the first five home, they were all drawn 10 or lower. There's been a real difficult race to do well in from a high draw. The one that caught the eye really further back was eighth home Solar Deity, stall 15, an 80-1 shot, trained by Jane Chappell-Heim, and made his effort on the outside of the track and did well to finish so close. So I think at a lower level, Solar Deity could be one to side with next time.
Okay, and let's just quickly recap the opening two races of the day as well. Winners in both of these for Sir Michael Stout. He had the winner in the opener at 2 o'clock and had the 1-2 in the 2:35. We'll start with the opener, King's Fate, winning again under Ryan Moore, who had another good day. Backed up his price, really, 5-2 favourite at the off, and won pretty nicely.
Yeah, I lost a few quid by taking this one on. I thought he was short enough based on an unlucky in running effort at Ascot the time before, and it also had three runs at Goodwood previously and lost them all. So I went for a touch on Outsider Majid at 20-1 in the morning. Finished third at 16-1, not quite getting home over the mile and a half trip. So there'll be another day for that one back at 10 furlongs. But yeah, it was a nice performance by King's Fate, and no reason why he can't follow up. One other worth of mention as well further back was a horse called Berkshire. Could only finish fifth of the seven runners. But this horse tends to race with the choke out in small fields, and he's only had a big field twice in his life, winning at Ascot in a field of 19 and then winning at Newmarket in a field of 13. So he's the kind of horse that will pop up at a big price the next time he gets a big field and plenty of cover.
Yeah, indeed. And then the 2:35, then just a word on the winner there, Thikriat for Sir Michael Stout, as we said, and Paul Hannigan in the 2:35. And this was a horse that had all the problems you could wish for in running, was had to be snatched up a couple of times, got bumped. It was a bit of a messy race. Pretty much all of them, bar Emotionless, who was leading them from an early stage, had some sort of trouble. But he battled his way to the front and ended up winning anyway, despite all the trouble in running.
That's right. Very nice performance. And the three-year-old's now won four of his five starts and was second to Ribchester at Royal Ascot at the Jersey Stakes in the other when badly drawn. The first four that day were drawn 7-17. 3-2, so it certainly helped to be drawn low and race more towards the far side. So, probably unlucky not to be unbeaten in his career, and a horse going places. Entered at Newbury next month in the Group 2 Hungerford Stakes, and also at Doncaster in the Park Stakes, another Group 2 contest in September. So don't be surprised to see him keep the winning habit going. Forge was quite interesting, the runner-up. Yeah. It wasn't best drawn in stall 9, and it was a little bit keen in the early stages, and then was switched to the outside for his run. Flew down the outside of the track, but couldn't get to the winner, who scored by half a length. So that would be one to look at next time.
Yeah, good stuff. That's Friday's action then. Across the week as a whole, Andrew, have there been any that have been scribbled hurriedly into the notebook that you've seen
absolutely.
From the Glorious Meeting?
Yeah, two very, very interesting runners. The first one, it's a horse called Rich and Famous, a newcomer from the Mark Johnson yard, who was badly drawn in a 6-furlong maiden on day one. And we've laid a good each-way bet. I was working for a bookmaker friend of mine at the track on Tuesday.
Right.
And I won't name the individual involved, but he's very closely related to the Mark Johnson yard. And
okay.
And it was a proper bet. And drawn in stall 10, not the best of draws. This one broke fast, made the running, looked like he was going to hold on, and then just got caught close home by Godolphin's Best Solution, who was better drawn and came on his outside, more towards the far rail. So, yeah, Rich and Famous is one to keep an eye on. I'd be amazed if he didn't win next time.
Okay.
And then the following day, there was another 6-furlong maiden, and the one that to follow from this one is a horse called Promising, a filly from the Richard Hannon yard. Now, Hannon had three in this race, and this one's gone off at 33-1. It's also badly drawn, this time in stall 11. The winner, Perfect Angels, come from stall 3, and is put in great work at the finish and just got beaten, going down by a neck, 3.5 lengths back to the third. And again, someone connected to the yard has had a good bet on this as well. So clearly, it was expected to run well despite the big starting price. And looks a filly with the future. So, yeah, Rich and Famous and Promising. A couple of nice two-year-olds to keep an eye on.
Okay, excellent stuff. I'm sure the listeners will be taking those names into the notebook. We'll move on to Sunday's action now. We've got three races from Chester and one from Chepstow to come on a pretty decent day of action, it has to be said, on Sunday. We begin with Chester's feature. This is the 3:15, the listed Queen's Ferry Stakes here. 6 furlongs is the trip for the 10 runners who stand their ground for it. Just over 20 grand on offer to the winner as well. And that decent pot has attracted a reasonably nice field for a listed event.
Yeah, absolutely. I like this race. It's often one for course experts and repeat winners. And I think Green Man Alishi won this 2 years running for Kevin Ryan and Eric Olsen won it at least twice with the same mare, whose name I forget at the moment. But the one that interests me here has to be last year's winner, Eastern Impact, for Richard Fahey. And this one ran in the July Cup last time out, Group 1 contest, 18 runners at Newmarket. And as we mentioned earlier, Washington DC, the fifth in that race, came out and franked the form when going desperately close in the King George Stakes at Glorious Goodwood. And Eastern Impact led the field for 2 furlongs that day, and before not quite sort of seeing it out, and back at an easier track. He's probably not going to lead. I think that'll be Hillbilly Boy from stall 4, maybe even Marsh Hawk from stall 5. But he'll track those. He'll be on the rail. He should be Aeolus, who's in stall 1, to the fence. And I think he's going to be hard to pass. He was hard to beat. He was 15-8 when winning this race last year, and everything's in his favour for a repeat.
Okay, Eastern Impact then for Richard Fahey, and Jack Garrity gets the pick to follow up on his success in the race last year. We stay at Chester now for their 350, and a handicap here coming over 7 furlongs. 11 runners go down for this one. It's a Class 3 event, and a few of these have either built up a sequence or are in the process of building up a sequence. There's plenty of winning form to go at.
That's right. There's a horse in here I'm very fond of, which is Ice Slice for James Eustace. I spotted this one when running well from a bad draw at Pontefract on reappearance back in April, and wrote him up in my Racing and Football Outlook column as one to follow. I didn't expect him to win his next 4 starts, though, at odds of 9-2, 5-2, 7-4 and 15-2, making the running on each occasion. He's nicely drawn for a front runner. But the winning run did come to an end at Haydock last time, when only third to Silvery Moon. And the concern here is the presence of several other frontrunners. You've got Gabriel the Tiger in stall 7, who's won from the front here over 7 furlongs the last twice, and is on a 4-timer, having won at Musselburgh before that. Alejandro and various others. It's just like it's chock full of early pace. And although we know Chester favours front runners in general, I'm going to side with a hold-up horse in the hope they do go too fast. And that's Fast Dancer from stall 1. Now, the inside berth has won this race for the last 2 years, and I'm hoping this one can make it a hat-trick. He's very, very consistent, rarely finishing out of the frame. He kept on well to finish fourth at Sandown last time, a track that wouldn't have suited his come-from-behind style. And he's only had 4 runs at Chester on good-to-soft or faster going, first, second, second and third, so I think each way Fast Dancer, you'll be very unlucky if he's not in the first 3.
Fast Dancer then each way in the 350 for Andrew. Final race then that comes from Chester on today's podcast is the 425. This is a condition stakes over 6 furlongs. Just 4 runners go down for this 2-year-old event. We never get a massive feel for these conditions races, Andrew, but 4 interesting prospects here.
Yeah, absolutely. It's hard to rule any of them out. And just looking at this race last year, we had an 11-2 shot King Robert, so it doesn't always go to the favourite. And I've not seen any prices, but I'm going to go with number 2, Leontes, for Andrew Balding. Balding's got a fantastic record at Chester. In the last 5 years, 32 winners from 141 runners, a 23% strike rate, and a £10 level stake would have got you almost £400. His last 2 runners here have won at 10-1 and 3-1. And although, you know, stall 3, not ideal, even in a small field, he has got early speed. He was described as close up when scoring at Hamilton last time on good to soft going. Good ground won't hurt him at all. And given his trainer's record here, I think Leontes is the one to beat.
Okay, Leontes then gets the pick in that conditions event. On the Rudy then, one more race to come on today's podcast. This comes from Chepstow in the shape of their 4.15. Sprint handicap here, 5 furlongs is the trip for the 9 runners that go down for it. Talk us through this field.
A nice little race here. What I found recently at Chepstow on the straight course is you want to be drawn low if possible. I'm convinced the ground's faster to the far side of centre. And Sydney Rough Diamond is the one that interests me from stall 2. He returned to form over 6 furlongs here last time out. Drawn in stall 1 that day. He was described as leading the pair on the far side and you know, running on well to beat Monarch Maid by just over a length. And he had course expert Gilmer, very impressive in sprints this summer, back in third. I thought that was a lovely performance. And there was certainly an interesting quote from the winning jockey Shane Kelly after that. He says, "I was drawn in stall 1 on Sydney Rough Diamond, so it made sense to go in a straight line and race up the far rail. I think the horse might have appreciated being over there as he picked up well when I asked him to go and settle it. So he's got a very similar draw here again, this time installed two of the eight runners. And I think his rivals aren't going to see which way he goes. So Sydney Rough Diamond to ping the lids from stall two and make all up the far side.
OK, Sydney Rough Diamond then for Richard Hughes, and Shane Kelly gets the pick in the 4:15 at Chep. So just give us a quick spin through, please, one more time. Your four selections for the action on Sunday.
OK, in the listed Queen's Ferry Stakes at Chester, the 3:15, I'm going with last year's winner, Eastern Impact. The 3:50 at Chester, a 7.5 furlong handicap. I'm hoping Fast Dancer can come through late and pick up the pieces. In the 4:25, I'm with Andrew Balding's Leontes. And finally, in the 4:15 at Chepstow, Sydney Rough Diamond to make all.
Excellent stuff. There we are, then, the thoughts of Andrew Mount ahead of Sunday's racing, which you can hear live from 1:40 p.m. on Racing Radio with Gareth Topham, Alistair Whitehouse Jones and Paddy Aspel in the studio on Sunday for Chester, Chepstow Market Raisin and the final day from Galway. Thank you very much for that, Andrew, and best of luck and enjoy the action.
Cheers, Sam. Have a good weekend.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.